Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. Yeah, it is good to see you. If you would, if you have your Bible, go ahead and grab it. We're going to be in John chapter 8 this morning. We're going to start in verse number 12. Listen to what scripture tells us. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." There's basically four parts of this passage that I want to cover with us this morning on our Christmas worship gathering. The first one is this: I am the light of the world. The second one, whoever follows me. The third one, will not walk in darkness. And then last but not least, but will have the light of life. Okay, that's the framework for the So you type A personalities out there of the message this morning. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, if you recall, if you've been with us for the last several weeks, or if this is your first Sunday hopping in with us this morning, the Jewish people are on a celebration, and they're celebrating this Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. And this is the 1 week celebration for 7 days, right, where the Jewish people remember God's promises and God's goodness to them during their wilderness period. And even though they rebelled against God and they were wandering for 40 years out in the wilderness, God still did some incredible things for them. I mean, most of us are very familiar with when he delivered them out of bondage of slavery, how he parted the Red Sea. We've heard that story. But did you also know that for each and every day for those 40 years out in the wilderness, that God made manna rain down from heaven to feed them? Even one time bringing quail beyond imagination so that they would have meat to eat. He told Moses at one point to hit the rock with his staff, and Moses hit it, right? And the waters came out to bring water, hydration to the people. And there's a lot of people, right? It's not just a group of 100. I mean, you're in the millions. And Moses hit this rock, and water came to provide water for the people, the nation of Israel. Another time, they're walking around and they come to this pond, this water, and it's very bitter, and God makes it sweet for them to drink. Not only that, every day he led them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the Feast of Booths is this celebration that the nation celebrated to remember what God had did for them during that time period. During this celebration, there were basically two kind of things, two big ceremonies that the people performed. One had to deal with water. Each and every morning to start out the service, the priest would go to the pool of Siloam and carry the water to the altar where he would pour it out as an offering to God, symbolizing God's deliverance of his people through the Red Sea, through the water. If you recall from our message 2 weeks ago, Jesus stood up. Remember what he said? "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Some scholars believe that Jesus may have said that during this water ceremony, during the feast. The second ceremony, they called it the illumination of the temple. And it involved lighting four torches, golden torches. And these torches were huge, okay? Some 75 feet tall. They were massive. And they were lit on the grounds of the temple so that the people would be reminded of God's presence in their life, just like he was with them with the pillar of fire during their wilderness journey. And all night long, these torches would shine their brilliance. In fact, it said it would illuminate the entire city of Jerusalem. One comment I read, and I find it hard to believe, but it may be possible, it said that you could even see the lit torches, the light that they provided, from 6 miles away. So track with me if you would. We're still in the last day of this Feast of Booths, and Jesus announces, maybe even under one of these torches that have been lit, and says, "I am the light of the world." And we've already been introduced to light in John's gospel before. You recall in John chapter 1, listen to verses 4 and 5. John writes this: "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. You see, this is how light works. Light is never overcome by darkness. Darkness is always overcome by light. For example, many of you that have pets, specifically dogs, any dog lovers in the house this morning? Okay, yeah, woof, woof, right? Every night before we go to bed, one of the last things we do before we go, I say we, one of the last things I do before we go to bed, right, is I take Buddy out to go potty one last time, right? And so as I go through, because, you know, it's cold now, so I go through the garage and out the side door of the garage because I don't want to be in the elements. And so as I walk out to the garage, guess what I do? I turn on the light to the garage. And as we walk over there to the side of the door and I open the side door, guess what happens? The light overtakes the darkness that's outside. The darkness from the outside doesn't come in and overtake the garage that Buddy and I are in. No, the light from the garage comes out and overtakes the darkness on the outside. You see, that's the relationship that light has with darkness. Darkness runs and hides from light. We see it even in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1 where God said, everything is dark, right? And God said, let there be light. And from his mouth, the words that he spoke, light shot out and expelled the darkness. And this idea of light continues to be stressed and harped on in the Old Testament. It becomes a huge idea. Listen to what the psalmist David writes in Psalm 27, verse number 1. He writes this, the Lord is my light. And my salvation, whom shall I fear? What is David saying in that moment? He's saying this, the Lord is the one who expels darkness from my life. I don't need to be afraid. Then turn to Malachi chapter 4. The prophet, this is the last chapter in the Old Testament. After Malachi, guess what? God stops talking to his people. God is silent for 400 years. And these are the last words through the prophet Malachi that God speaks to his people, and then he goes quiet. Listen to chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. They'll be utterly consumed and destroyed. But for you who fear my name, listen, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. And so before God goes silent to his people, he leaves them on this sort of cliffhanger and he says this, don't worry, light is coming, the Son of Righteousness. And when he comes, he will bless and bring joy for those who call on him and will curse and crush those who don't. Light is coming. The prophet Isaiah, he talks about light quite a bit as well. Listen to Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 6. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. You hear that? Light to the nations, or for the nations, light of the world. Sounds similar, doesn't it? And then when you think to what Jesus told his disciples before ascending back up into heaven, right? Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is referencing Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 60 is even more powerful. Listen to what the prophet writes there in verse 19. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your days of mourning shall be ended. The prophet is trying to tell the people, listen up. Someone is coming who is going to be the light of the world, the Son of righteousness. And when he comes, he will change everything. Now, we get a little bit of taste of it right now here on earth for those who believe and follow and obey. But here in Isaiah chapter 60, Isaiah is saying that it's going to get even better. If you think this is good now, just wait. It's going to get even better. The Apostle John, he picks up on the same imagery there in Isaiah. And listen to what Revelation chapter 22 tells us. At the end of time, when all things have been consumed and completed, listen to Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, verse number 5. And night will be no more. There will be no lamp of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. You see, church, this is going to be the reality for all those who believe in Jesus. We get to experience now just a bit. We see glimpses of it, but we'll experience it in its fullness when we get to heaven. You see, Jesus, he is light, and as light, he expels all darkness, all evil, all sin. And what happens? It is just total light. That's why he declares back in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Secondly, he says this, whoever follows me. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me. What does it mean to follow? You know, back in John chapter 1, verse 43, we covered it when Pastor Jared was preaching that Sunday. Christ comes to Philip and he tells Philip, he says, listen, follow me, Philip, come and follow me. Now, I don't think Jesus meant to Philip, hey, Philip, I want you to think I'm a really cool guy. Hey, Philip, I want you to know certain facts about me. I want you to have intellectual knowledge about me. But don't change your lifestyle. Yeah, give verbal accolades to me, Philip, but don't change the way you live. No, I believe that Christ, and we see it in the scriptures, right? He's telling Philip, listen, come follow me. I want you to do what I do, and I want you to say what I say. Come follow me. And what does Philip do? He follows him, yeah. In Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus, he calls four other guys, right? Simon, Andrew, James, and John. And he tells them the same thing. Follow me. And what does he do? What is their response? They follow him. They leave everything behind, their past, and they follow him to become like him. And that's the hard part when it means to follow Christ, is it not? It doesn't just mean believing on who Jesus says he is. It also means to do and obey what he says to do. Follow Jesus doesn't just mean that you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, buried, rose 3 days later, and now sits at the right hand of God. And then, oh, by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and live the way I want to live. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe scripture is true, but I'm just going to do what I want to do and what I feel like doing. No, following Jesus means that you abandon everything else to come and do what he tells you to do and to say what he tells you to say. You just don't believe in the idea or the existence of Jesus, that he was a real person who actually lived and breathed. But because of his life, because of his sacrifice, your life is no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. The call to his disciples, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Listen, this is Jesus talking. So if you get mad, you get mad at me if you want. But really what you're doing is getting mad at Christ. Listen to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This is Jesus talking. He says this, "If anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You want to be my disciple? You want to come after me? You want to follow me? It doesn't mean that you have this kind of flaky faith where you think I'm real and you believe in some facts about me. That's not discipleship. That's not what it means to be a disciple of Christ. It doesn't set you apart. It doesn't make you different. Jesus says, you want to be my disciple? You have to deny yourself. Those things that don't align, that you do, that don't align with my will, you shut them down. And you say, that's not what Christ wants in my life, and so I'm not going to do it. You deny your flesh. You take up your cross. I mean, you realize that when Jesus is saying this, and especially throughout the first century, to be a Christian was to have a death sentence put on you. It was illegal. I mean, there's early church writings talking about how the citizens of Rome and outside people, they thought the early Christians were cannibals. Because they're talking about communion and partaking of the Lord's body and drinking his blood. A lot of people died. They were burned at the stake, boiled in oil, fed to wild beasts, tortured, all because they felt like it was worthy, it was enough to follow Christ. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and what? Follow me. It means to believe and to obey no matter what the cost might bring to you. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, and the third thing, you will not walk in darkness. Now, what is darkness? I mean, we hear about this a lot from an early age, do we not? I mean, it's embedded throughout our culture even. You watch movies like Star Wars and Harry Potter, right? Light is associated with good. Dark is associated with bad. And in Scripture, that's where they pull it from. They pull it from Scripture. Righteousness is associated with light, and sin is associated with darkness. And so what is Jesus saying here in John 8:12? That if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. You will not walk in sin. You're not going to live a sinful lifestyle. Listen to 1 John chapter 1. This is what John writes. Verse number 5, he writes this. "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." So here's the reality, church, of what Scripture is saying in these verses. If you say that you follow Jesus, but you're continually doing things that are contrary to what Jesus would want you to do, you're living in sin, you're living in darkness, and the Scripture calls you a liar. Not me, right? You can't judge me, JD. What gives you the right to judge me? Listen, I'm not judging you. Scripture is. And I'll tell you what, if I am living in the darkness, I hope that you come to me and say the same thing to me. I hope that you have the courage to come to me and say, JD, I see this in your life. It's contrary to what Scripture says. People who follow Jesus do not walk in darkness. What do I mean by that? I'm talking about habitually living in sin. We'll see here in a second in 1 John, we all make mistakes. We're human. But people who follow Christ do not walk in darkness. Why? Because Jesus does not give you a license to sin. His grace doesn't just give you a free pass to go do whatever you want to do. No, why? Because his grace gives you the reason to stop. Those who follow Jesus do not choose their sin over the Lord. Why? Because Jesus doesn't give you a license to sin. He gives you a reason to stop. And that reason to stop is the fourth thing I want to talk to you about this morning. That fourth thing is this, because those individuals now have the light of life. We're still in 1 John chapter 1. Listen to verse number 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So here's the weird connection that the Apostle John is making right here in these verses. He's saying this, that if you follow Jesus, you recognize and you realize that you still have sin. Because the moment you say you don't have sin and that you're not a sinner, listen, you make God a liar. You're a liar. You do sin. And so part of this ongoing relationship with Jesus is this confession that we do. And you and I, we have such a limited view of confession in our walk. Sure, confession means to admit, but what are you admitting to? You're admitting that you were wrong and God was right. That you were wrong and that God was right. Confession is that you're agreeing with God, that what you did was stupid and you probably should not have done it. Confession means that as you are walking in the light, there's going to be times where you're going to wander off into the darkness. There's going to be times where you do make those mistakes, where you are tempted and you're going one direction and you see something that, like the carrot dangling before you, and you go after it. Confession is that time, right? Where you come back to the light and you look at God, you say to God, listen, God, I agree with you that what I did in that moment, that wasn't good. That wasn't in line with what you want for my life. I should not have done this. I'm coming back to you. You see, when you follow Christ, you will not walk in darkness. You will not live in darkness. Why? Because you have the light of life. And friends, that's why we celebrate Christmas. It's why Jesus came, to give us light, to give us his righteousness. He is the light of the world. And for those of us who follow him, who not only believe in who he says he is, but also do what he tells us to do, say what he tells us to say, we obey. We will not walk in darkness. We will not live in sin. Why? Because we have the light of life living within us. And so what it comes down to is this, the simple point. If I was going to sum up the whole message in this one statement, it was this. You either follow him or you don't. Should be on the screen here in a second. You either walk in the light or you walk in the darkness. There is no middle ground. There is no gray area when it comes to Christ, when it comes to your relationship with the Father. There's either blessing or cursing. You either follow him or you don't. And that's what it really comes down to this morning. That's what the Christmas season, right? It's about a decision that you make. You either walk in the light or you walk in the darkness. There is no middle ground. And based on that decision, you will either be eternally united with him or you will be eternally separated from him. So where are you this morning? Where are you? Are you passionately following Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or are you just all talk and no walk? Because maybe this morning you need to come before Christ and you need to confess. You need to admit and agree with Him that what you're doing is not right. That you are returning to the light. As part of our response time each and every Sunday, we have communion up here in the front. Here in a moment, we're going to sing and worship our Heavenly Father. And at any point during that time of worship, you could come up here and partake of the elements. As you make that confession this morning, as you agree with God, allow that cup of bread that represents His body and that little cup of juice that represents His blood shed for us, allow those things to cleanse you from all darkness, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and to make you total light. My wife and I are also going to be up here at the front as well if you need prayer. We'd love to pray with you, whatever your need may be. Part of our response time is through giving, worship through giving. We give because He first gave to us. Listen, I'm here to tell you, it's because of your financial contributions that we're able to share the light of Jesus in our community. How? This year, we gave through Pregnancy Resource Center nearly $5,000. Family for Life, a nonprofit that helps foster families. We were also able to give them $2,500. And guess what? In 2022, we want to do more. We want to let that light shine. But we need your help. Can't do it on our own. And so we have the offering plates up here at the front. If you're watching online, you can mail your gift to P.O. Box 1774 here in Owosso. You can go online to newheightsowosso.church, or you can text the word give to 918-300-4483. And as we've been talking about this past week specifically, we're going to have a candlelight part of our service here in a moment. And when you come up to partake of communion or to give your offering, you'll see some boxes on either side with candles in them. As you come up and partake of the elements or give offering, we ask that you take a candle back to your seat with you. And parents, are you listening? Hopefully everyone's with me right now. Parents, we just ask that due to safety concerns, right, that only children 10 years of age and up take a candle, okay? We're going to worship the light that has come to illuminate, to expel the darkness in our world. If you would, please stand as I pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for this morning. And Holy Spirit, we have made room for you in these next few moments. We have blocked out our schedule. We blocked out the routine. We blocked out the chaos of the Christmas season, things that need to be done this week. Father, we put that on the back burner because these next few moments belong to you. We are making room for you to shine light into our lives. And so, Father, if there be any darkness in us, if there be any sin in us, Spirit, reveal that to us in these next few moments. And may we confess that. May we come into agreement with you. May we not rebel anymore. May we not run, but may we run toward the light as you expel that darkness in our lives. Father, I thank you. I love you. Do what only you can do, for it's in your precious Son's name I pray. Amen and amen.